You're watching Let the Quran Speak. Aliens and extraterrestrial life. What are extraterrestrial life forms? Are there any verses in the Quran that hint at their existence? If they were to be discovered, what would that mean for human beings and their special relationship with God? Would these beings have the potential to be Muslims too, and to abide by the Quran and the Prophet's teachings? With me to discuss is Dr. Shabir Ali, President of the Islamic Information Center. Brother Shabir, what would it mean for us if there were extraterrestrial life forms?
Well, but let's think about what the term itself means. There's an excellent article about this on the On Islam website. The article stresses that we must be clear on what we mean by this. When people think about extraterrestrial life forms nowadays, they're thinking about often the Hollywood images are in mind.
Of, the green alien with the odd shaped head and things like that.
And they come to Earth on a spaceship. Yes. And then there are some people who think that perhaps some crash landing of a spaceship in Roswell, New Mexico was carrying alien life forms, and that the U.S. government is somehow suppressing this information lest people be too concerned about this and so on. Well, what we should say, and what is very clear, is that...
And people report UFO sightings regularly and feel like the government is also suppressing that information as well.
Yes, but at the study of the level of astrophysics, we can be sure that none of this has actually happened. Because to have life as we know it, a planet would have to be like ours, in that it would be distant from its sun, but not too distant. Distant enough to not be too hot, and not too far away so that it becomes too cold. It would have to have the right mixture of certain ingredients. It would have to be able to support water, which was essential for life as we know it. If such intelligent life as human beings emerged on a planet somewhere else, that planet would be very far away. So far, no planet has like ours has been discovered within our solar system. And other systems are very far away. To give you an idea, light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, or 300,000 kilometers per second. And some other systems are some 4.3 billion light years away. So we do have the vastness of outer space and the possibility that of the 100 billion galaxies that are out there, similar to our Milky Way galaxy, and 100 billion stars within each one, you can have many Earths out there, similar to our own. And, of course, intelligent life. But
we don't have knowledge of them.
We do not have knowledge of them, and the distances are so vast that we don't expect that any of them would have actually arrived on Earth, even given the most advanced technologies that they would have.
Of course, there's a fear that if there are, you know, if there is extraterrestrial life out there, it's intelligent life. You know, and more intelligent than human beings, perhaps.
Yes, and if there were such beings out there, and they had the capability of traveling and coming to Earth, they wouldn't be coming in such isolated instances that are sometimes reported on these conspiracy sites that we can read on the web. The Earth would be teeming with such extraterrestrial visitors. But this is not the case. So, in short, there is no evidence that any such beings have actually visited Earth, at least in our lifetimes. And at the same time, we must allow for the possibility that they do exist. So then your question
is, there anything in the Quran perhaps that suggests that, you know, there are other beings other than human beings that exist?
Yes, and this is where I get to your question about the implications of this for Muslim belief. Well, the Quran actually is quite open to the possibility that many Earths do exist, because the first chapter of the Quran says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise be to God, the Lord of the worlds. In fact, it says here Alameen, which is universe, but universes in the plural.
Okay.
So there could be many universes and many worlds. In traditional commentaries on the Quran, it would would be explained that it has been explained that it's given here in the plural because we have many worlds operating even around us. In our own bodies, there are many systems. There are worlds within us. And around us, there are many worlds. So there's the world of human beings, there's the plant world. There is the world of jinns, which is another set of creatures. There's the world of angels, another sort of creatures. So there could be many other sorts of creatures out there. In the 74th chapter of the Quran, we read, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Only God knows his armies or his troops. And another verse in the Quran, in Surah, the 42nd chapter, the 29th verse, it says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. And of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and what he has caused to appear in the two of them, in the heavens and the earth, of creatures. So dabba creatures is what is commonly used for animate life on our planet. And it would seem from this verse that such animate life is scattered throughout the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm. Would this shake up our understanding of humanity as being sort of special to God? Because when you look at the Quran, there's a lot of emphasis on human beings and on earth. You know, not necessarily about other planets, other beings out there.
If someone had a simplistic understanding, and of course that was the only understanding that for generations people could have, because they saw things within the certain narrow confines of the human experience. As our experience grows now, we can understand these ideas in different ways. So the Quran does say that God has created human beings fi ahsani taqwim. In the best of molds, but it doesn't mean that only human beings have been created in this best of molds. At one time, people may have thought only human beings, because everything else they knew were inferior to human beings. But now we can see that there is a possibility that other such beings like ourselves exist in other parts of the world, mm-hmm. of the universe.
Mm-hmm. But of course, they probably wouldn't have access to the Quran. Or the Prophet Muhammad's teachings?
There are certain basic Quranic principles which would help us to think this through. One of the basic principles is that God does not leave his creatures without guidance. Mm-hmm. So God sends messengers again and again. And to every people, God sends messengers of their own kind. And people from among their own communities, so that they can relate to each other. When people see the messenger from their communities, they can say, yeah, he's one of us, we know him, we can understand his message, and he speaks our language, which is also important. So whatever languages are spoken, or whatever means of communication available for people to transmit ideas, all of this must be used in all of its different, its variety. And God is the master of all of this. He speaks all languages, and he communicates. You know, in the Star Wars films, we have Darth Vader communicating through the mind, right? Well, this is an idea portrayed in a film, but the idea is not ridiculous. It is possible that God's revelation to his prophets is a sort of mental communication. And in that case, we do not need a specific language in which that communication needs to take place. It's one mind speaking to another. And the mind of God could speak to intelligent beings in many different ways throughout the universe.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for your time, Brother Shabir.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break. When we return, we answer questions we've received from you, our viewers.